So Pastor reached out about a week or so ago and asked if I'd be willing to speak today and if I'd be willing to kind of continue the series that he just kicked off last week. And I'm as interested as you are to see how the final draft turns out. So we'll go on this adventure together. But I wanted to start off with a little bit of a recap. Neil started a series called Living Life. Moving our way through the book of 1 John, and last week was entitled Open, he had a few points there, and it was about Christ being life. He said, number one, that Christ is the word of life, which, if you remember the Gospel of John, that the word of life was the moment of creation. It is that he is life itself, was the second point, which came to me thinking of when God made Adam and breathed into him the breath of life, and that he is eternal life. As he was our first birth, he will also be our second birth, that salvation. And so I'm hoping to build on those points, and as we move into the second chapter of John, the first few verses, I wanted to read them, and then I'll probably pray too, because that's just kind of a way I had set it in my mind. I didn't think Katie was going to do that. So here we go. So in the second chapter of 1 John, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only our sins, but also the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing. Sorry, lost myself there. The darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that your word is what speaks today. Lord, I thank you for the worship service. Lord, it has brought us into your courts. Lord, into your throne room. Lord, help us to hear you. Lord, help my words to be only what you would have said. Lord, please continue to prepare our hearts to hear you. Amen. My wife has the unenviable task of trying to illustrate what I'm saying, and this is, I think, the second or third time she's been tasked with that, and I have to apologize to her, but she does a great job. So when I read those verses, a lot of things jumped out at me. But one of the things that a lot of the commentaries mentioned is that when you read the epistles, the letters of John, they draw a lot, have a lot of similarities with the Gospel of John, which makes sense, it's the same writer. The biggest difference is that the gospel is an accounting, is an attempt at a historical accounting of what was actually occurring in Jesus' life as John observed it. And these letters from John are at the end of his life. He might have been about 90 years old. He may have been the longest living person, probably the last living person who actually knew Christ. And so he is rendering instruction to young churches on how to live as Christ would have them live. And imagine that a 90-year-old person is trying to instill all of the wisdom of their life and distill it down into a brief letter. And that's what John is doing here. And you'll hear time and again that he describes it. He says, I'm writing to you because. He is telling you what he's trying to tell you. And then he goes on to explain himself. And you'll hear him that he has these terms of endearment and these moments where he says things about their I and we were together in this. And those are important and very personal moments. And so I was trying to think if someone like that was trying to distill all the experiences they had with Christ and instruct young Christians and future Christians and thousands of years later us, what would have been going through his mind? And one of the passages that jumped out at me, and I didn't realize that Pastor used this last week a little bit too, is from the Gospel of John, and from John 14, verse 6, and it says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I think that as John was writing the words of Christ, and possibly these words might have been going through his mind. And so when I was preparing, I literally, as I was reading each verse, put that phrase and then tried to read the verse in that context. And as I went through the passage, the third verse really jumped out at me. It says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. And so what I'm talking about today is proper alignment. Last week, Pastor focused on having an open heart. And so what I'm talking about today is aligning ourselves with God's plan for our lives. And he says that you'll know that you know Christ when you keep his commands. So my mind went on a bit of a rabbit trail there, and it said, well, what are Christ's commands? We know the Ten Commandments, right? Those are pretty well stated. So what are Christ's commands? And I thought, man, you could go through the Gospels and you could capture all the times that Christ said something very specific that was a command. And then I realized this is the internet age. I don't have to do any of that research. It's already been done. So there are lots of lists. There are things, I think, as few as 12, as high as 70, but a lot of them have about 50 items on them. And so we're going to go through those one by one. No, we're not. We're not going to do that. That would take a long time. And it would be a very, very worthwhile study. In fact, Jim, if you want to get on that, I'll do that study with you, and that would be a lot of fun. But if you want that list, I'll email it to you. I have it. And it would be great. If you read that list every day or focus on one item off that list, man, would we be better at what we do. But I don't think John is trying to give us a list of rules. The religious people that Christ encountered had lots and lots of rules, but they had lost the heart. And I think what John is trying to do is he wants us to internalize. He wants us to live out Christ's commands. He wants us to demonstrate to the world around us that we are Christ's. And so then I thought about, how do we demonstrate the things that we align ourselves with? Is anyone wearing a sports t-shirt today? I know my kids are. Because I think all that Reed owns at this point are sports-flavored t-shirts. I think he could probably go easier finding 30 days of different sports shirts than 7 days of non-sports shirts. But I'm the same way. They get it from me. I got it from my own dad. I'm a Yankees fan because my dad's a Yankees fan. I'm a Giants fan because my dad was a Giants fan. We grow up right around New York City. That's the norm, right? If you're here, you might be a Royals fan, but you're almost certainly a Chiefs fan, right? That's easy. I said, but imagine that every Chiefs shirt that you own, instead of Chiefs, it said Christ. Seriously, imagine that. Every red t-shirt, white, yellow, whatever color it might be, if you identified with Christ as easily as we identify with the sports teams that we follow, if someone's following you in traffic, what do they think you align with? On the back of mine, I reference NASCAR because I'm a huge race fan. My son has Sporting KC, he has Jets, and I think the Royals. What's in the back of your car? If someone's following you in traffic, what do they think of you? You could just as easily, I could have as much Star Wars or Star Trek stuff on the back of mine too. And I've seen the ones where there are like starship battles occurring on someone's back window. I think that's awesome, right? So I love the one also, my stick family can beat up your stick family. I think that's the Rainies. But if we identify with Christ, as easily identify the other things in our lives, the brands that we wear, the sports teams that we follow, I think we'd be very different people. And I think that's what John is asking us to do, is to align ourselves publicly with Christ. And so let's get into the text. It says, my dear children, I write this to you. I said he's going to do this a bit. I write this to you so that you will not sin. Now, in chapter 1, he said that anyone who says they do not sin makes God a liar, and the truth is not in them. So John knows that we're going to sin. So the question is, what is he talking about? I think he's talking about a life of sin, that intentional sin, that wallowing in our sin, refusing to get away from it. He says that when we do sin, anybody who does sin, they have an advocate with the Father. If and when we come to know Christ, we are forgiven. And that is an amazing gift. It says in verse 2 that Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but for the entire world. In Ephesians, Paul says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. How do we escape that? What is the way? There is one way, there is one truth, and there is one new life, and that is Christ. We think about Christ's sacrifice as that few hours on the cross, or maybe the torture that was the day before. But really, that sacrifice began the moment he left heaven. To separate himself from his Father, to come to live among his creation, this was the first part of his sacrifice. Can you imagine being the Almighty God and being a helpless infant simultaneously? The humility that had to be brought onto Christ in those moments, it cannot really be understood. And so that began the sacrifice. And 30 plus years later, that sacrifice culminated in that torture and death and burial and going to the gates of hell and defeating Satan, claiming those keys and bringing us eternal life. And that is an amazing gift. And so what we're asking today is that in honor of that, we would seek to align ourselves with Christ and his commands. Pastor always has great quotes, and so I really worked hard to find one. And it has to be good because it references Augustine, so it's got to be a good quote. This is from William Barclay, who wrote a commentary on 1 John. It says, to know God, to abide in God, to have fellowship with God has always been the quest of the human spirit. For Augustine was right when he said God has made men for himself and that we are restless until we find the rest in him. When we align ourselves with God, when we are living out his love, when we have found our purpose in him, is when we can truly find rest. Even when life is going on around us and when things are crumbling around us, we can have rest and peace in him. And it is an amazing gift that comes as part of it. So then we get to verse 3. It says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. This is one of the ways that I believe that that phrase may have been running through John's mind. That Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Because if you say you know the way and you're not living out that life, then you don't have the truth. It says, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is made complete in them. For this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. God's love can be made complete in us. That is another amazing gift. We get to deliver God's love to people. And it starts in our own homes. Our children, we get to bestow endless love on them. And that is from God. And then it reaches into our families beyond and into our communities, into our neighborhoods. But it shouldn't stop there. The Great Commission doesn't say, take care of your family and go to your neighborhood and go to church, and that's who you should hang out with. It says, I want you to start in Jerusalem. Start in your hometown. That's good. Then cover your entire area. Do Judea. Get everybody. Then go to your enemies. Go to the people you don't hang out with. Go to Samaria. And then go to the rest of the world. The funny part is, we are the rest of the world. We are part of that rest of the world. Unless anyone is here born in Jerusalem, anybody? I didn't think anybody was, but, right? We're that rest of the world. How amazing that we get grafted into that heritage of being God's people, God's chosen people, is another amazing gift. Again, Paul, as I tend to reference Paul a lot, in 1 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. So John says, you'll know that you know him if you keep his commands. And Paul says that, and if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. So if you're not allowing Christ's love and Christ's power to channel through you, you're blocking God's purpose for your life. Be that new creation. Be that conduit for God's love to others. And don't limit it to the people who look like you and act like you and work at the same place as you work, but do that too. But no one is beyond God's love. That very first verse, this for the sins of the whole world, or maybe the second verse. Yeah, second verse. And then it talks about obeying the commands. And the same way I don't believe that sin was a singular sin, but rather a lifestyle of sin, I don't think that we get accepted by God just by doing good things. If you found the 50 rules, the 50 commands of Christ, and you did your best to live in those in your own power, that's not enough. That's not the point. The point is to let them change you, to make them change the way that you live. Because every person will encounter a unique situation that there may not be a direct biblical correlation on how to move forward. And so you need to be able to interpret, to internalize all of that, and to honor God with your life. In verse 7, it says, dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one. So what is that old command? To love the Lord with all your heart and strength and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Believe it or not, that goes all the way back to Genesis and Leviticus. It's a very old command. When they asked Christ, what is the greatest command? He responded with, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you care, that's numbers 40 and 41 on the list of 50 commands of Christ, by the way. That's what he's asking us to do. It's simple. When we simplified the message of this church years and years ago, we simplified it down to love God and love others. And so that's where we are. In the ending verses, it says, anyone who claims to be in the life but has hatred is in the darkness. So anyone who loves their brother is in the light. It says, but anyone who hates a brother is in the darkness. And it says, and the darkness has blinded them. Imagine being in a pitch black room, no light of any kind. It's a small space. You can figure out yourself your way around. There are a few stumbling blocks, but you figure out where those are. And you might get comfortable in that small, dark space. You can make things work for you. Because that is not what we're aiming for here. Because we want you to live in the light. Because let God's instruction, let his power, let his love live through you. So that anything you encounter, you are walking in the light. And the light is with you as you go there. Because, and the greatest enemy of the darkness is the light. So those are the verses. And you notice I really didn't do a whole kind of, this is point one, point two, point three. So what's my point? So I had three things I wanted to highlight. If and when you accept Christ, you are forgiven. It's not a one-time thing. It is continual. It is every day renewed. All you got to do is come to Christ each day. If you know Christ, you will keep his commands. You ought to be living like he did. So that's the second one. Number three, if you love Christ, you will love his people. The Gospel of John begins with, in the beginning was the Word. And it ends with the conversation with Peter. And he turns to Peter and he says, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. He does it a third time. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He goes, then feed my sheep. This body and the people out there in the world are loved by God. They are his children. He died for their sins. They are not beyond his love. And it falls to us to deliver them. God's power can work through us. We don't do any of the saving. He does it all. He stirs that heart. He can quicken that dead stone heart and make it soft again. And so that's the request. My call to action for the day is love others. Start in your house. Be in this community. Be in your neighborhood. But don't stop there. Be God's conduit of love. Be aligned with him. Be in his purpose for your life. Well, that's it. Hopefully the final draft was okay. Thank you. So I challenge you this week. Just do it once. Show God's love. And then do it again. And then do it again. And when you die, if every day you showed God's love to one person, I think you'll live a good life. Let's pray. Dear Father, we pray that your word would live in us. Lord, that we would understand your purpose for our life. That we would be constantly reaching out to others with your hands, praying over them with your voice, and doing everything we can to be of service to members of our family, members of this church, And we know there are people who are hurting. And they need our friendship and our touch and our prayer. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, we love you and we honor you with our lives. Help us to live this Christian life for you. In your name we pray. Amen.